You know, I always like to take this opportunity to talk about myself.
Woo!
Looking man, the best dressed man. You know why? Woo, because my name's Ric Flair.
Woo!
Hello and welcome back to the only 7-star wrestling radio show on planet Earth. This is Indie Wrestling Radio. I am the Sly One, Jordan Fox, and with me as always, the man, Floyd Johnson Jr. Floyd, what's up, my man?
Nothing much. It's a happy Tuesday here. You know, I made it through the overnight schedule without falling asleep, which is always good. Got to watch some good football. I lost in my fantasy playoffs by 6 points.
Oh, man. 6 points, that's rough.
Let me tell you the difference. I was trying to decide what kicker to play, and I played Cairo Santos instead of the kicker from San Francisco. Cairo Santos made 2 extra points, but then missed 2 field goals, so he gave me 0 points.
Ooh, who did he kick for?
Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay, okay.
My other kicker who kicks for the 49ers gave me 10 points.
Oh.
If I would have played the San Francisco kicker, I would have won.
By 4 points, right?
I would have won by 4 points.
Yeah, the math. Yeah,
so
yeah,
the
yeah.
Difference, you know, just like in real life, kickers can win and lose you the game.
What are you running 2 kickers for? You just ended up with 2 kickers this week? Or you always keep 2 kickers?
I mean, I keep one on the bench and one as a starter. Well, I run a league that's it's been around for like 16, 17 years. So they've come up with a whole lot of rules, and to make it fair, you only can have a maximum amount of players on each team. So you only can have 2 quarterbacks, 4 running backs, 4 wide receivers, 2 tight ends, and 2 defenses and 2 kickers. So
gotcha.
So you always have 2 kickers, and you just decide which one to play. I played the wrong one.
I got
that's
you.
On me. Coaching decision. I'll take that L. I'll get them next year. We'll get them next year.
I got you. Man, I got one for you. So my friend, he is not in my league. His name's Carlos. We were actually in Iraq together. Shout out to my boy Carlos. I made a post on Facebook about how at the beginning of the fantasy season, I felt like I was going to be the new Sean McVay. You know, young. Offensive specialist, you know, an offensive guru. I was going to win all these games, and I end up being like Philadelphia's version of Chip Kelly. Like, I just, you know, I butchered my team. Like, I won 3 games, you know. So, and my buddy commented on there, and he said that he had a phenomenal, his team itself had a phenomenal fantasy league, right? Like, he scored more than 100 total fantasy points than the next highest scoring team in the league, right? But his season, he went like 6-6 or 7-7 because anytime he just randomly fell whenever he was winning by a whole bunch. And then when he would lose by just 1 or 2 points. So he only went 500, even though he scored more points than anybody in his league. And I was like, man, that sucks. That's a bad year, you know? But
yeah.
I thought that was a horrible year. You know, you outscore everyone in your fantasy league by over 100 points, and you still only go 7-7.
Yeah,
that's bad.
Yeah, I was talking to my friend Jason last week. He won his fantasy game, and he had a really high score. And the guy that he was playing against had the second highest score in the league. So he had the first highest score, and he had the second highest score. So if that guy had been playing anybody else in the league, he wins, right?
Right.
I mean, we had like a 30-minute conversation about how fantasy football is a little bit of luck. That happened to me this week. The guy I played was the highest score in the league. I was the second highest score in the league. I was just playing him.
Wow.
If I had played anybody else in the league, I would have won.
You would have dominated, huh?
Yeah, would have won. Yeah, and I played the one person in the league that was better than me. And I had a player on my team with zero. And I still was the second highest scoring player. Second highest scoring.
That's horrible.
I mean, it's fantasy football. It's fun. Like I said, it makes you care about games you normally wouldn't care about.
Exactly.
I started playing fantasy football because the Chiefs sucked.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were really bad. I mean, I think it was like the year, I think 2008, 2009, the year we drafted number one or whatever.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't very long ago. And I started playing fantasy football because we weren't very good. And now it's like, okay, my fantasy football season's over. And it used to be, I'd be like, I don't really got a lot of reason to watch football because the Chiefs suck. Now the Chiefs are one of the best teams in the NFL. So it's like, oh, fantasy season's over. Now I can watch real football.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I know the feeling. When I started fantasy football, the Dallas Cowboys were doing, 8-8 back-to-back-to-back seasons, basically. And, it's just, it's so much fun. Like, and it's just such the luck of the draw. And you know what I mean? Put together a good team, but I mean, even the best players in the world, even the Tom Brady's and the Aaron Rodgers only have weeks where they score 9 to 13 points. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this past week I have Amari Cooper on my team. I had him, when he was still a Raider and, this week he scored 57 points, so I blew away my opponent this week, but I've had my season's been 4-7 or something like that, so.
Yeah, the guy I lost to was 3-5, through eight games, and he's literally, counting the game now, he's won his last six. His team just got hot.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just I got caught in that wave.
Yeah, yep. That happens, man. Well, how did you feel about this week's Raw, man? That's what we're covering today.
This week's Raw, if I gave one word for this week's Raw, it would be eh.
Okay.
It would
yeah.
be eh.
Yeah.
And if I gave it a grade, it would be a C. And I know that was generous for a lot of people, but honestly, I didn't think it was that bad. I thought there were some very good spots in it. And it was funny last night, just not talking about any specific segment, but there was a segment that people were killing and I thought was a perfectly fine segment, and I realized sometimes you got to realize how hard it is to be the WWE. No matter what you do, there's going to be someone out there on social media that's out loud that thinks it sucks.
Right. And
I will tell you what segment that was when we get to it.
Okay, yeah, I was just about to ask that, but you just tell me whenever we get there?
Yep.
And, it was to go off kind of what you said before we start here, I have noticed that since starting the show, and even I sometimes will do it, and that is that people in today's wrestling fandom, in the IWC, people do not like to give WWE the benefit of the doubt, but indie darlings will get the benefit of the doubt 9 times out of 10. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong, and I'm not saying that I haven't done it, because like I just admitted, I'm bad about it too. But I have noticed that WWE is expected to hit a home run every at bat, whereas an indie superstar can have a dud and they'll be like, hey, better luck next time,
Yeah, because you got to think about this. Back in the day when wrestling was at its hottest, Attitude Era, there was no social media.
Right.
Just think about that. There was no social media. And I think social media holds wrestling back so much because the most passionate fans focus on what they don't like.
Yeah.
Instead of focusing on what they do like. Like, I thought there was a lot to like about Raw last night.
Yeah.
But if you were in Twitter, it completely sucked. It was horrible. It was just more of the same.
Right. One thing that I will commend WWE on, everyone that listens to the show on a regular basis knows that I get so irritated when we have matches that aren't like complete squash matches that go under 4 minutes. Like, I understand if you put two James Ellsworths in there with Baron Corbin and he kills him in 90 seconds, I'm not going to complain about that. I don't expect that to be an 8-minute masterpiece. Like, that's serving a purpose. But when you have, you know, Chad Gable versus, you know, Bobby Roode. I know they're tag team partners now, but when they were feuding, for instance, you know, and they go out there and they get 2 minutes and 50 seconds. That's pointless to me. You know what I mean? If someone didn't pull out a weapon, if it was just a straight wrestling match that ended in 2 minutes and 50 seconds or 3 minutes and 30 seconds, that irritates me. But I have to give it to the WWE this week. There was 6 matches on Raw last night, and only one, Floyd, broke less than four minute barrier. So good job, WWE. We are getting better at that. And one more thing. So we'll go ahead and start, and I'll just say it as we start, and that is that Seth Rollins comes out. And some people say he did like a little work shoot here. And part of that is he's kind of running down the WWE, running down Baron Corbin. And Dave Meltzer actually tweeted that he thought that the opening segment reminded him of the final days of WCW. Remember where wrestlers would come out and just bury WCW, and Scott Steiner came out and said, "You need to take your remote and change it over to the WWF right now and watch Stone Cold Steve Austin, because WCW sucks." And Meltzer and a lot of Meltzer followers kind of thought that that was what was going on this opening segment with Seth Rollins. Would you agree or disagree with that?
I disagree, because I dig a little deeper, right?
Okay.
I think Seth Rollins was the voice of the fan, and Baron Corbin was the voice of Vince.
Okay.
So Seth Rollins is like, this is everything that's wrong, ratings are low. Vince is like, I'm going to put out what I want to, and you're going to like it.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what Baron Corbin basically said.
Right,
I'm going to put out what I want, and you're going to like it.
Yep.
And guess what? Yeah, that's what they did.
Yep. You kind of stole the words right out of my mouth of some stuff that I'm going to say here in a minute. So let's just jump right into it. So we open up the show, and Seth Rollins is already in the ring, and they restart his music, and it says it like 4 different times. They hit the burn it down portion of his song like 4 different times. When he starts talking, he says, "Burn it down, that's going to be my rallying cry." He hypes this coming weekend's TLC match against Dean Ambrose, and he says he's also here to spit some truth. He invites Baron Corbin to the ring. Corbin says they should be doing this in private and kisses Rollins' ass a little bit. Rollins tells him just to shut up and listen. Rollins says, under Corbin's leadership, Raw has sucked because Corbin has been on the show all the time. In parentheses, I put Rollins shooting a bit. So do you think there was any shooting there involved at all, or you think that was all an orchestrated jab at Corbin?
I don't know if anybody does a true shoot anymore, where it seems like it's off script or whatever.
Right.
I mean, everything he said, you could just look on Twitter of WWE's Twitter and just read the post last week.
That's
you know
true.
What I mean?
Yeah.
He didn't really say anything edgy. I mean, I'm not dissing it. I think he did it in a believable way. I think he did it in a way to get the fans involved. I thought it was well delivered. I just like when people were like, "Man, that was it was generally what the Twitter trolls said all last week."
Yeah.
I mean, he literally could have, you could go on Twitter for 30 minutes and come up with every complaint that he said right there.
So true. So true. Corbin says he's allowing him to vent, but that Rollins needs to watch his tone. Rollins praises the roster in the back and the fact that Corbin has no idea what to do with any of them. Rollins cites the case of the Revival being buried in Lucha House Party matches. He brings up, what the hell is Lucha House Party matches anyway? He also brings up the horrible pissing segments, which he's referring to Drake Maverick pissing on Bobby Roode's robe, right?
Yeah, he said that's hilarious. That's original.
Yeah, that's original. Rollinsons runs down Brock for never being there, and he said he actually asked Corbin, "When's the last time Brock had a match on Raw?" I'll tell you, in 2002. Did you know that?
Yes.
Oh, you did know that. Okay. I did not realize that.
It was the Raw right before WrestleMania 20.
I did not know that. 2002.
Yeah, he does not. I mean, that was his last. 2002. But no, he was on SmackDown for a while. But when he did 20, he got traded to SmackDown. And then, he wasn't on Raw because he was on SmackDown.
Right.
And then he did SmackDown until he wasn't with the company anymore. And then once he left the company, when he came back, he never worked regular. He never wrestled a match on a house show.
Wow. The last time Brock Lesnar had a match on WWE Raw, I was not even old enough to drive a vehicle. Can you believe that?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, I was 21.
It's insane, man. It's absolutely insane. Where was I? Rollins says fan and roster support, morale, and ratings are all at an all-time low due to Baron Corbin. Corbin says he doesn't care because this is his show, and he even threatens to make things worse. He says he'll win at TLC, becoming the permanent GM, and then put Rollins through even more hell. Rollins challenges Corbin to a match right here and now, a TLC match. Crowd loved hearing that. They started chanting and cheering and everything. Corbin refuses. Rollins calls him a coward repeatedly, which I think he kind of stole that from Daniel Bryan. Didn't Daniel Bryan do that recently to The Miz? Coward. Coward.
Yeah.
Coward. I thought that was pretty funny. Corbin finally accepts, and he said it will be for the IC title. This is just my opinion here, and I want to know if you agree or disagree with this, but I don't know how much, I don't know if I agree with them doing a TLC match on Raw 6 days before their TLC event.
They were trying to shake it up. They were trying to be a little edgy.
I didn't know what you would say, but I thought you might say that. And I was going to ask you if, do you think that this is them just completely trying to change it up? Or do you think that, they were thinking that, you know, if we have a little bit of a hardcore match, a little bit of a TLC match and give them a little taste of what's to come, more people might buy in to getting the pay-per-view, you know, signing up for the WWE network.
I think they were literally going for the temporary bump in ratings for last night.
You think they were just trying to go for that first hour or final hour? That final hour rating
was so low last week. USA was probably like, "Whoa, dude, what's up?"
Okay. I see it.
No, Speed's in the benchmark. You're the one turned me on to their show.
Yeah.
They had a post last night. You can bitch about Corbin all you want. Few heels in the WWE get the crowd pissed as well as he does.
That's a valid point.
And it's so true. Yeah. I think the only better heel is Ciampa. I think him and The Miz are on the same level right now, because The Miz is kind of in that level, in that weird area where he still gets cheered. But the two people that absolutely don't get cheered are Ciampa and Corbin. And it's like everyone hates on Corbin. I mean, my boy Greg DeMarco, yep, on his show Tuesday nights has a segment called Baron Corbin Sucks. And I'm like, shout out to my boy Greg. I want to say our segment today is Baron Corbin Rules. Baron Corbin, he's so good at being a heel. He is everything you want in an authority figure.
Right.
You know, he does not acknowledge anything he does wrong or any failures.
Exactly.
He moves past that, you know?
And, you know, if they would give him a few legitimate wins and make him a credible threat, he would get even more heat on him. Don't you think?
Yeah, and it's funny what they're doing right now. And I said this a couple weeks ago when the shitty, really shitty, they're really building up the Corbin character, right?
Right.
That's their focus. They're character building Corbin. What they felt like they had lack of strong personalities as heels. And they are building Corbin up as his top heel. And it's like, well, you might not like the episodes because the bad guy's always winning and you happen to go through all the shenanigans and stuff like that. But it's building a character. And it's sometimes you're going to have a few slow episodes when you're building a character.
Yep. I agree. Down below this, I put in my notes, Vince equals surrogate ? And that was kind of what I was referring to when you said that earlier.
Oh, yeah. He is the younger representative of Vince.
Yeah, I did not. I was going to ask you if you thought that was the, if Vince had his hand in that a little bit, where he was talking through Baron Corbin saying, I don't care, I'll make it worse if I want to, you know?
Every line he says, I think, because Vince, you know, really does work with his top heels, and I think Vince is giving him every line that he's saying right now.
Yeah. Another thing that I put in my notes, and this was something that I read on Twitter, that there was multiple people saying on Twitter that a company should never tell their audience that their show sucks, no matter how truthful it is. And then I put, what's your opinion on this, Floyd?
I don't know if I agree with that. I mean, in that way, I don't think they were telling us that their show sucks. I think in their way, they were saying, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
And screw you.
I can see it. I think I kind of lean a little bit more towards that they were acknowledging it, that it's been down, but they were like, we're going to do things the way we want to do it. So anyway, we have a little bit different view of it, but I totally see where you're coming from. I think that's just as plausible as my thinking as well. You know what I mean?
It's like Cody says, I'm going to play my music. You might like it. You might not like it, but I'm going to play my music. And right now that's what the WWE is doing.
Right.
We have a storyline that we want to tell. We have something fleshed out on our road to WrestleMania. You may like it. You may not like it. But the thing is when you try to change week to week to try to get the audience to like you, that's when you make horrible decisions.
Right. Yeah, I see that. After the commercial break, we see Rollins walking backstage. He stops for an interview. He admits it may not be the smartest decision to take on Corbin in a TLC match for the title 6 days before he has a TLC match with Dean Ambrose. But he said, I have to be a leader and I have to take a stand. Next we see Bobby Roode taking on AOP and Maverick in apparently a Lucha House Rules match, I guess. Because it was a 3-on-2. Yeah, handicap match. It went 8.5 minutes, and Bobby Roode and Chad Gable, they actually win the title on a Bobby Roode roll-up. It was like a crucifixion pin, or what do you call that?
Yeah, crucifix.
Rolled him up in a crucifix, rolled up Drake Maverick, to be exact, pronouns, pal. Rolled them up, and they are the new Raw Tag Team Champions. Did you see this coming, and what do you think of the idea?
I did not see it coming. I honestly do think that was a panic move, and it was stupid.
Okay, explain the panic move. What do you mean by that?
I think they were doing it, you know, I was just talking about trying to get a bump in ratings.
I see.
Yeah, I think they were trying to get a bump in ratings, try to make you forget about the P angle. You know, that kind of thing. I just thought, like, when he hit him with the move, and then Drake was, I was like, oh, they're about to put the titles on Bobby Roode and Chad Gable. And it's like you knew something was up, because Bobby Roode and Chad Gable hadn't dressed alike in weeks, and they come out in the exact same gear.
Yeah.
And it was like, that's weird. Why would a team that keeps losing come out in the exact same gear?
Yeah, they got reinvigorated, right?
Yeah, so I mean, I give it to them. I'm like, anytime a team wins their first title and they're kind of a makeshift team and the rival haven't won the title, that kind of pisses me off.
True.
But I'm going to get past that and say this. Renee Young, again, love her, and I made this point this week, but she then makes the point how despicable Baron Corbin was for allowing there to be a 3-on-2 handicap match.
Did she say that? I missed that.
Yeah, she said that. How
despicable it was. I'm like, This is right after she spent the last 3 weeks taking up for Lucha House Rule match and calling it the wave of the future and saying that traditionalists are the only ones that don't like Lucha House Party Rules match.
Matches. Yeah, so... I actually asked at WWE what the difference between a 2-on-3 handicap match and
a Lucha House Rules?
Lucha House Rules match. And they're never going to reply, but I really want them to know that answer. I'm like I don't tag WWE in much stuff, but I really want to know why is Baron Corbin a bastard for giving them the advantage, but it's okay for the Lucha House Party to have the advantage.
Yeah, doesn't make much sense, does it? We see Rude and Gable celebrating backstage. Next, we see Natalya talk. Man, I kind of felt uncomfortable during this whole segment here, but and
this is the segment I was talking about.
Okay. So you want to explain that again to us?
So we had Natalya in the ring talking about how she's gonna. I give Cliff Notes versions.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, as I say, you give more detail, but basically how she's going, how Ruby Riott's taken too far, broken the sunglasses, and now she's gonna dedicate the match to her dad. Right.
Gotcha.
And then, you know, Ruby Riott comes out, and she has a table, and you find out the table has Neidhart on it, and she says, you and your dad are going to be closer than ever when she puts him through the table. And let me say, there have been a lot. Jim Neidhart wanted nothing more than one more run in the WWE, right?
Right.
Jim Hart Neidhart, if you watched the show and you knew his personality, would love that they're talking about him every week.
That's a good point. Very valid point.
I mean, he would love that they're talking about him every week. Even his face was on there.
Yeah, that's true. He did have his a life-size sticker was like stuck on the table, wasn't it?
Yes, and wrestlers and people in the business know pretty much anything's, you know, that you can use because it's all scripted. It's not real. She knows Ruby Riott doesn't feel that way about her dad.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, the part point is to pull drama out of people. And I'm just like, I've seen worse. I saw when Hawk was literally going through alcohol and drug problems. Going through alcohol and drug problems than they did on TV. Those were cringeworthy. This, her dad was in the business.
Yeah.
He would be okay with this.
True. That's a good point. That makes it a little bit less uncomfortable for me, you know, with you pointing that out, that, yeah, Neidhart would probably, you know, he was a worker's worker, so, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not so much in-ring worker's worker, but, you know, like a wrestler's wrestler, like, you know, he lived it. So, yeah, he probably would enjoy that even in death, he's still being memorialized on WWE television. Yeah.
And he loved his daughter more than anything. And if it gets his daughter TV time, oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure. You're right. You're totally right. I back off what I said. One thing I did like that Natalya said was that she said she was not handed anything because of who her dad was. And she said, in fact, I had to fight for everything. And she says, you ever heard of something called the Montreal screw job? Have you ever heard about the time my uncle punched the owner, Vince McMahon, in the face? Did she mention one more? I thought she gave three examples, but maybe just gave the two. I don't know.
Yeah, but I know she said she had to get past that. Yeah. That was the big part. And I thought that was a really good job of pulling out that she had to work for everything. And, I mean, just being real, I'm talking about this is not kayfabe. Look how much plastic surgery she's had to have since.
To be honest, I wasn't going to ask you because I didn't want to sound like a total douche if I was wrong, but I thought that she had some sort of work done or something.
Her face looked like her dad's originally.
I feel like I remember that, but at the same time, I don't know if I'm just thinking that.
Look up young Natalya or Natty Neidhart. Her face looked like her dad's. I mean, she's had liposuction. She's had obviously breast implants, but she's had stuff to her face done.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. And I mean, and this is not me like, oh, I got medical records. I have eyes.
Right.
Your face doesn't grow that way.
Right, right.
You don't develop thin cheekbones and your chin doesn't completely change.
Right.
That comes with work. I mean, so she's had to earn her spot. And a lot of times she's still gotten passed over. I mean, she's been with the WWE a lot longer than the Bellas, and the Bellas moved right past her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just think about how many people she's trained that are like main eventing shows now.
Yeah.
She had a hand with Charlotte. She put Charlotte over. And when Paige gave up the NXT title and they had the tournament and Charlotte won it,
mm-hmm.
who'd she face in the finals? Natalya Neidhart.
Hmm.
Putting her over, making her look good.
Yeah.
I mean, she's trained almost all the wrestlers that are on the roster right now.
Right.
So, yeah, if people don't think she's had it rough, I mean, you're just not paying attention.
Yeah. That makes me feel bad, man. I hope that Natty, if she did get reconstructive surgery of any sort, that I hope she did it because she wanted to do it. Because you and I are not saying there's anything wrong with plastic surgery in any way, shape, or form. What I'm saying is I hope that she didn't, in a weird way, kind of like feel like it was necessary to get further along in her career. Hopefully it was just something that she wanted to do herself. You know what I mean?
I absolutely think she thought it was necessary, and I absolutely think it was necessary.
Oh, that's sad, man. That's sad.
Look at the women in the WWE right now.
Yeah.
They say, oh, we're going away from models and blah, blah, blah. Name an unattractive woman on the roster.
Well, yeah. No, I agree.
And I mean, it's just funny. They just found attractive women that could actually wrestle. That's the only way they changed it. They didn't go out and just be like, oh, yeah, it doesn't matter what you look like. Shit, Nia Jax, and I hate to say it because she's beautiful to me regardless, but apparently, you know, to other people, for a woman her size, she's gorgeous.
Right.
You know, so it's very, as I point out to people all the time, wrestling is a cosmetic business. So when I say something about someone's look or something like that, some people get up in arms, I remind them, wrestling is not about being tough. Wrestling is about seeming like you're tough.
Mm-hmm.
Wrestling is not about if you can fight. It's about seeming like you can fight. You know, Stone Cold may not ever punch a man in the face in his life, but it doesn't matter.
right.
And so now Natalya, when people say, oh, they had to do this, this, and this, I mean, shit, Dana Brooke put on Instagram, she had a live feed on Instagram of her getting Botox.
Who did?
Dana Brooke.
Really? I did not know that.
Did a live video of her getting Botox.
Wow.
I mean, that's a part of their job.
Wow.
They all do like makeup tutorials, and they tell you the brands of skincare that they love, because looking good is a part of the job description.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I understand that. I can't believe that. It just seems like, you know, that's a big leap going from talking about like your favorite makeup to getting liposuction live on Facebook. That's just crazy to me. I mean,
she got Botox.
Oh, Botox. Yeah. I got. Oh, yeah. Okay. That's a little bit different. But still.
Keep her skin, like, yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, that is quite a bit different. But still, man, it's crazy the thing that these females are having to do to, you know, feel like that they are on the same playing field as everyone else that's in the female division. You know, that's just crazy.
Yeah, I mean, and it was a different. I mean, Natalya started in a different WWE.
Yeah, she's been there over a decade, hasn't she?
Yeah, she was a wrestler when they were literally only hiring fitness models. You know,
right
when the Trish Stratuses and was coming in, and they were only hiring like the hottest of the hot women. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So I guarantee you, she felt pressure.
Yeah.
To look a little prettier, to get more screen time.
Right. Hmm. We'll have to touch on that some more sometime soon. Let's start back up. We get the announcement that Finn Balor is not there due to injury. His match with McIntyre is still advertised for Sunday at TLC. McIntyre says he beat Finn Balor so bad he's not here tonight, and he will finally finish the job on Sunday. So Drew McIntyre's in the ring at this point, and then does Dolph Ziggler just kind of come out? Because I guess I forgot to write down exactly what happened.
Drew McIntyre was cutting a promo in the ring, and he basically said he doesn't care if fans like him. He's doing this. This is what's best for them, and that he was going to beat up Dolph Ziggler.
And then Dolph Ziggler comes down?
Yeah.
And they go into a match?
Yep.
Gotcha, gotcha. Yeah, because I just put down my notes and said, and he says he'll finally finish the job on Sunday, and then the next thing is McIntyre v. Ziggler. And I'm like, well, hell, how did that start? I forgot. But, the match went 7 minutes and 50 seconds, and McIntyre did, in fact, beat up Dolph Ziggler. What did you think of the match?
They let him be more competitive than I thought. I thought they were going to go Kurt Angle with it.
Oh, yeah, and just totally destroy him?
Destroy him, no, but they let it be more competitive. Even how he won, it was like that kick out of nowhere, and then he got the pin, and then he beat him up after the match.
Right.
Which, I really liked that, because I was like, if they went Kurt Angle, I would be burying it right now. And I thought they did a good show of chance, because you've been building Dolph Ziggler as being a threat to win all year, and now you're just going to have him get dominated, I thought would have been stupid.
Right.
But they didn't do it, so I was very happy with that decision.
I agree. And then just to touch on real quick what you just said, post-match, McIntyre kicks the shit out of Dolph until the agents and refs make the save. McIntyre ends up hitting another Claymore kick and sends Dolph Ziggler into the LED board. Next, we get highlights of Heath Slater beating Rhino, which led to Rhino being gone from the WWE and Slater becoming a referee. What do you think about this storyline, Heath Slater becoming a referee?
I think Heath Slater is hilarious, and I think he's a very sympathetic character. So finding a way to get him on TV, I'm happy with.
I agree. I think anything that gives Heath Slater a little bit of TV time is cool with me, because I think he's hilarious as well. So glad to hear it.
He has amazing comedic timing. It was just like, it's like one of those people, when he's not on TV, you're wasting his talent, because he doesn't need to wrestle. He's funny.
Right. Yeah. I agree. I totally agree. Next, we get the one match that I will complain about, and that was the 3 minute and 45 second match, and that was Bayley taking on Alicia Fox. Sasha Banks, Jinder Mahal, and the Singh brothers are all at ringside. Bayley picks up the win in, like I said, 3 minutes, 45 seconds. This match I didn't think was very much. It was basically focused on stuff on the outside, on the floor. And then they had Apollo Crews come out and show that he is replacing Finn Balor at tomorrow's Mixed Match Challenge. I guess that'll be today's Mixed Match Challenge. And he's teaming up with Bayley. Is Balor having some shoot problems, or is this kayfabe stuff?
I literally pulled it up right when we were about to bring up this segment. He's actually dealing with an illness.
Ah, okay, so he's sick. Okay, gotcha. I did not know if that was just part of the storyline or if he was having some shoot issues, but thank you for clarifying that. Next, we get Charlie interviewing Ambrose backstage. Ambrose says he doesn't care about Rollins and says he called himself the architect to keep attention on himself. He says Rollins has a huge ego and always had to step on others to be the man. If Rollins is still IC champion after tonight, he'll take it away from him on Sunday. Ambrose is asked what Roman would think about all of this, and Ambrose says, "Who cares?" I thought that was pretty heelish, I guess you would say, you know, saying, "I don't care. Who cares about Roman Reigns? He's not here." You know what I mean? Then they show some footage of Ambrose turning on Rollins, which was, you know, took place the night of Roman Reigns announcing that he had leukemia.
Yes.
Isn't that right? There was that night, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it was that night, but they're kind of backing away from that.
Yeah, they are, aren't they? You think you like that?
Which is good, but again, it's one of those things. If Roman's okay with it, I'm okay with it, and they wouldn't do it if Roman wasn't okay with it.
Yeah, yeah. I remember you saying that a few weeks ago on the show, and I was like, you know, that's a very good point that Floyd made. Like, you know, if Roman doesn't have a problem, and we don't know if Roman doesn't have a problem with it, you know what I mean? But I'm sure...
They wouldn't do it if Roman had
a
problem.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm
that's
100%
exactly.
sure if Roman had an actual problem with it, they wouldn't do it.
Yeah, and especially in the situation that he's in, I can't imagine them doing it without his permission. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just can't.
And like I said, I can't imagine that he cares. It's just, you know, to me, if you watch for 80s wrestling, just go back on the WWE Network. They used to get way more personal than they do now.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Next, we see Elias is here for a special performance. He runs down Lashley and praises San Diego. Elias has a match with Leo Rush, and he said he's going to teach him a lesson, and Elias plays his song. So, are you still on board with Elias being a babyface instead of a heel?
Yes, and it's hilarious, because he still insults the city, but he just says the other guy said it.
I didn't even notice that until you just mentioned that. That is true. Because he said, yeah, Lashley said that if he was mayor or governor, he would take all the pro sports teams out of this town and move them up to Los Angeles. I didn't even notice that he said that Lashley said it.
Yeah, so he still shit on the city, but he just said Lashley said it.
I cannot believe I did not notice that. I did not put two and two together. I did not connect those dots.
I thought it was so awesome. I was like, he's still doing the same gimmick. He's just he said this about y'all. I didn't say it.
I'm gonna have to make sure I remember that for next week and see if he does it next week as well. We see Elias take on Leo Rush. Leo Rush ends up getting the win in 4 minutes and 10 seconds. This was all about basically screwing over Elias, and it also kind of pushed forward the storyline that Heath Slater is pretty scared to be just a normal referee and call it down the middle because he thinks he's going to lose his job.
He is Baron Corbin's personal referee.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
He is the NWO Nick Patrick right now, but instead he's a reluctant. But the crazy thing is, refs disqualify heels and people that Baron Corbin like all the time.
Uh-huh.
It feels like the refs would have came up to him and says, yeah, he can't do anything to you. it's like one of those things. I love it. I love the how digging it. But I'm just saying, if you're paying a little too close to attention like I do, it's like, that seems like a plot hole. Because why don't all the refs just do what Baron Corbin wants?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah,
like, I didn't even think about that. Yep.
No, I mean, does it matter? Does it have to be Heath Slater? Why don't you just pick a different referee?
Yeah, because he could just threaten them with their job, right? Just be like, hey, do what I... Yeah. That's a good point.
Why does it have to be Heath Slater?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Backstage, Corbin tells Slater that he did well tonight. Slater says, I'm heading home. And Corbin says, no, you are reffing mine and Seth Rollins' match tonight. After that, we see another Alexa Bliss open form. I'm not going to go into this because it was super boring. Nia Jax talks some trash on Ronda. Ronda comes out to the ring and runs them off. Then they, Tamina and Nia Jax. Yeah, sorry. Tamina and Nia Jax surround Ronda, and Ember Moon runs down to make sure that she didn't get double teamed. That was basically it, right?
Yeah, see, like, you know, this is one of those things. We get Ember and Ronda versus Nia and Tamina. Then we get Ember with Ronda versus Nia and Tamina. Why couldn't Nia just squash a local talent?
Yeah.
To prove her dominance?
Right.
Like, I just thought, to me, it's just like this whole, I know you got all these people under roster. You know, why couldn't, you know, Nia beat up somebody else? This is why did you have to, like, they had a tag match. And then it's basically, when it turned down, it ended up kind of being a tag match. And it's just like, stop doing the copy and paste on your matches.
Right.
We've seen AOP and either Chad Gable or Bobby Roode like 4 weeks in a row. Now we're getting him at a pay-per-view, and we're supposed to care about it. It's supposed to be more.
Yeah.
And then now you got Nia and Ronda, and then you get Ember and this, and now Ember's going to come out and help Ryan and Ronda on Sunday, and no one's going to be shocked about it because you didn't kind of play your cards to your vest.
True.
You're just giving us the same shit every week sometimes. literally, it's like copy and paste.
It's true.
They did a tag team match. Now we're going to do a singles match. Now we're going to do a six-man match. Now we're going to do a mixed tag. And it's the same four people.
Yep. I agree. This actually led into Ember Moon versus Tamina match, which lasted 4 minutes and 50 seconds before Ember defeated Tamina. I did not think this match was good. It really looked like Tamina could not keep up with Ember Moon. Like, Ember Moon was obviously running the match in there, and it just did not seem well. What did you think?
They don't have chemistry, and I honestly didn't care a lot about the match. It was just a nothing match.
Right, right.
And it was just like, as soon as they announced it, I was just like, I rolled my eyes. I'm just like, this is the kind of stuff where I don't know how to make this positive.
Yeah.
I'm really good at spin. I don't know how to spin giving us the same kind of group weeks and weeks in a row.
Right.
It's not building up my excitement for the match Sunday. Building up my excitement is if you say Nia, you tell like Baron says Nia, Ronda, you can't touch each other. So they have matches with other people. They like dominate, and then you like really look excited into leaving if that's something you want to do. But it's just right now, it's just like this was boring, and I mean they got to do something about Nia on the mic. Mostly just don't put her on there.
Yeah. She's so bad.
And it's just like the longer she has to speak, the worse it is.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I had my, when you were just talking there, as soon as you said that about Nia, I just put my hand in my, or my face in my hands. I was just like, man, you are so right. You are absolutely so right.
It's something about her voice. There's not no real inflection to it. So, I mean, it's not quite monotone, but it's not something. It's not a voice that keeps your attention.
Right.
Charlotte has a good job of doing it. Even when Ronda talks, long as she doesn't get too wordy, you pay attention to what she has to say. Now you're just waiting for the end.
Yeah. I mean... I agree 100%. Like I don't even have anything to add because you just hit the nail on the head right there perfectly. It's just so boring.
And you know I'm a big Nia fan. I was like when she came and she had her first shirt. I got a shirt that says I'm not like most girls. And then she put out another shirt and I'm rooting for her and I love Nia. But it's just some people are good at certain things and some people aren't.
Yep.
She's not good on the mic and she doesn't need to be. She's 6 foot, 300 pounds. She doesn't need to talk.
Yep. It's true, man. It's true. After that match, we got Corbin being interviewed backstage by his main event match. He doesn't see this as abuse of power. He just accepted a challenge as making sure fans see him in a TLC match.
I completely agree with that statement. I was like, he actually said no several times to Seth Rollins.
That is true. Like, he's in this one situation, like, he technically should be the face, right? He's the authority figure getting challenged.
Yeah, he kept saying no. Yeah. And then he called him a coward 12 times. So, what are you supposed to say?
Yeah. Charlie actually asks him about the rumors that Braun will be at TLC. Corbin dismisses anything she has to say at that point. And in the main event tonight, we get a TLC Intercontinental title match between the champion, Seth Rollins, and the challenger, / general manager-elect, Baron Corbin. This match went 24 minutes and 35 seconds, and I did not think it was a bad match. I think all praise should go to Seth Rollins. I don't think Baron Corbin did much in the match. I think Seth Rollins ran around for 25 minutes. like an American badass, just...
Yeah, I had this at three and a half. This is the only match I would rate.
Yeah, I think Seth Rollins did phenomenal in this. I think Baron Corbin... I don't think much of the success was due to Baron Corbin. I think he was just kind of there, if you ask me.
Yeah, when you talk about the ace of WWE, you know, it's funny because in New Japan, the ace of New Japan is generally the best wrestler. Like, right now, Kenny's the ace, and he's the best wrestler, you know?
Right.
And for most companies, that's how it works. Well, in the WWE, you would say the ace is the best wrestler, but he's not like the face of the company. I think those are two different things. And right now, Seth is the ace. He is the guy you can literally put with anybody, and he will drag a corpse to a 3.5-star match.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, he's that guy. He's like, he's the wrestler's wrestler. And, you know, if you're talking about face of the company, honestly, right now they don't really have one.
Right.
I mean, Ronda would be the closest thing that they have to it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Roman was clearly the face of the company. Now it's like, if you had to say, Ronda's kind of stepped in that position. And it's just like, I was like, it's kind of funny because I've heard rumors that they might be pushing Seth soon. And I'm like, that every time they've taken their best wrestler and put him on top, it has been like pretty successful, you know. When they put Daniel Bryan on top, he had the Yes run, and he was their best wrestler. AJ Styles has had a great run as the best wrestler. And it's just like, you go back to Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, you know, those type of people where it was clear the best wrestler. Triple H, when he had his run as the champion, as the best wrestler being on top of the card, it tends to be good results. So I would love Seth Rollins to get his spot back at the top of the card and just – like literally go a little less WWE-ish and he just put on great matches every month.
Yeah, that's a valid point, man. I think it would be awesome. I think Seth Rollins is one of the best workers in professional wrestling today. Definitely in my top five, you know?
Yeah, and he gets, you know, like when people are doing their top five list, if you're in the WWE, they kind of take you off the list because you have to work the WWE style. And they're like, he hasn't had any great matches. I'm like, but you know, you kind of got to go based on what he's getting paid to do. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You can't really compare a New Japan main event match with most WWE main event matches.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot more storytelling as far as outside interference, you know, that kind of stuff in a WWE match. As opposed to New Japan, it's literally the two men get in the ring, tell a story.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, WWE's just getting paid a shit ton more money.
Right,
you know, right. So, you know, I don't know. You know, if you're a true artist, I say go to New Japan, but I don't know. But with this case, I'm just saying Seth Rollins, people forget how good he is, and he's amazing.
He is awesome. He is awesome, and he proved it in this 25-minute match with Baron Corbin, of all people. Post-match, we see Dean Ambrose arrive, and you think he's going to go down and possibly beat up Rollins, but he ends up just having a stare-down with him. Which is what we end the show on, and that closes, and that's the final thing we'll see from them two until Sunday, right? When TLC takes place this Sunday,
This Sunday, and I was actually shocked that it was this Sunday. Like, I really hadn't thought about what day it was until they mentioned it on the show. And I was like, oh, wow, it is Sunday. And, you know, I'll be at your show on Sunday. And you know what? I honestly don't feel like I'm missing much.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like there's too much. I mean, obviously, I will watch it, not on Sunday, obviously. But, you know, I probably won't sit down and watch every single match unless I just have the time, because there seems to be a lot of so-so matches. But
yeah, it's going to be a lot of fast-forwarding to me, for me. I mean, like, Natalya versus Ruby Riott, if the whole Riott squad doesn't just come out and squash her, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
I mean, like, really. It's just like, the whole thing about TLC is that there's no rules.
True. It's a valid point. I mean, it's a valid point.
She comes out with three women.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't she just use them? But I don't know. Like I said, that's a logic thing, unless, you know, Baron Corbin bans them from ringside or something like that. But yeah, I look at the matches on it. I'm looking forward to reviewing it, you know, previewing it Friday. But it's just like right now, I'm looking forward to AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan. That's really it.
That's going to be a fun match, I think. I think that'll be a fun match.
And I forgot. Don't let me disrespect my women. The Queen versus the Man versus the Empress. That's going to be a hell of a match.
That's going to be fun. And we will talk about that a lot tomorrow. That'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that will be a lot of fun.
Which, speaking of, we have just a few more minutes left. So, do you want to tell the crowd out there where you spend your weekends at, Floyd?
Just remember this mainly. I know you're listening to it, but chairshot.com, chairshot.com, chairshot.com. My show is called Around the Ring. That's the other show I do. On Sundays, it's basically a week in review of wrestling. This week, we'll be recording like right after. We'll be recording right after Final Battle. And so you'll get a lot of hot takes from that show. And we get uploaded by 12 o'clock on Sunday. And we got two top fives this week. So you can go on Facebook.com or Twitter.com/ Around the Ring OK, as in Around the Ring, Oklahoma. And we're always willing to, we always want to hear from the people that listen to us.
Absolutely. It's a great show. I listen to it every week as well. So don't forget to check it out. Floyd, as always, I appreciate it, man. We've built an awesome show here, so thank you for doing the show with me each and every morning. For everyone out there that tunes in every day, Floyd and I appreciate you so, so, so much. For Floyd and myself, everyone out there, stay strong and too sweet.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face. What is a boy to do?